You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
DolphinsTalk.com Point After.
What's going on? You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Point After. I'm your host, Josh Couture. Thank you for pressing play. And it seems as though I had a plan of what I was going to do this week. And thanks to Xavier Howard, that plan effectively was tossed out the window. So we're going to talk about this Xavier Howard situation, break it down for you, and I'll give you my two cents. I'll tell you what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and it's not positive. It's definitely not positive. But before we get to that, I just want to let you know that later on in the program, I'm going to be joined by Jason Moore of the Fantasy Footballers. If you haven't heard about Jason or the Fantasy Footballers, they are essentially the best fantasy analysts there are. I know you probably love your analysts on ESPN and the NFL Network and all that fun stuff, but these guys are incredible. It's him and two other fellas, and they do a great job. They have a huge following. You can check them out on Twitter. You can check them out on YouTube. They do daily content on YouTube and on iTunes. They also have a great website, thefantasyfootballers.com, where you can see how they rank players week to week. They're going to try and help you win a fantasy league title. But I'm having Jason on the show this week, not to really talk about, you know, the fantasy numbers, the hard numbers, and, you know, to tell you who you should draft. No, I'm having him on because they did an AFC East breakdown a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about the Miami Dolphins, and they talked about the Miami Dolphins offense, and Jason had some thoughts about the Miami Dolphins offense that I found interesting, so I reached out to him, and he graciously accepted the invitation to come on and defend his take. Now, did his mind change? Did he double down on what he was thinking as it pertains to the Miami Dolphins and their offense? We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on, but we have to talk about Xavier Howard. What is going on with Miami and Xavier Howard? We knew going into training camp that Xavier Howard was unhappy with his current contract, the one he signed back in 2019. And he's unhappy because, well, I guess he didn't really understand what he signed his name to. It's such a weird situation. So he shows up to training camp, does the full day, and then puts out a statement on the internet for everyone to see saying that he's demanding a trade. And he's demanding a trade because he and his agent approached Chris Greer about restructuring his current contract. He was unhappy with the money he was owed on the remainder of the deal. And Chris Greer, I guess, by the sounds of it, declined to rework this contract because if he agreed to it, we wouldn't be in this situation. So Xavier Howard wants to be traded. So he puts out this statement and he outlines kind of everything that's happened. He admits that when he signed the contract, he didn't understand what he was signing. And this would explain why he fired his agent and now has a new agent who's trying to restructure his contract and, of course, make some extra money on the side for himself. But Xavier Howard didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was signing when he put pen to paper, and he feels like he has outplayed the deal he is currently on. Again, the one he signed back in 2019 when the Miami Dolphins signed him with the expectation that he was going to be one of the top corners in the NFL. When they signed him as though he was a top corner in the NFL, and now he has matched what the expectations were of him based on that contract. And you could make the argument that he's already surpassed it with those 10 interceptions he had last season. It's a bold move. In any profession, if you feel like you deserve more money, if you feel like you should ask for a raise, you would go to your boss. You'd go into their office, talk to your supervisor, and you would say, I think I deserve a raise. Now, sometimes they'll agree with you and you'll kind of come to an agreement on a number. But most of the time, they'll probably tell you, it's not a good time. And then you just have to let it go and move on. This is, on a larger scale, that same situation. He wants a pay raise, and Chris Greer's like, not a good time. He wants Xavier Howard to play out the contract that he signed. But Xavier Howard doesn't want to necessarily play out that exact contract. He would just like it altered a little bit. But unfortunately, I don't think Chris Greer wants to set the precedent that if you are unhappy with your contract, you can go into his office and demand it to be fixed. Because once you do it for one guy, well, chances are you're going to have to do it for someone else. And he doesn't really want to deal with that in the future, because there are guys he has already signed to contracts who are watching this and are thinking, well, if I perform above and beyond my expectations this coming season, I can go ask for a pay raise just like Xavien Howard did. But rather than that happening, Chris Greer put his foot down, and there is a possibility that the Miami Dolphins are going to trade one of the best cover corners in the NFL within the next couple of weeks. It's going to happen soon, because NFL teams do not want to chance him getting hurt, because he's still fully participating in training camp. They want him healthy on their team, especially for what they're going to have to give up to get him. He ain't worth anything if he tears his knee up or rips his Achilles up or hurts his shoulder. So these teams want to get him in as soon as possible. Obviously, get him acclimated with the defense. Get him acclimated with the roster. The sooner the better for these NFL franchises. Ian Rapoport already reported that two playoff teams have already asked about the asking price for Xavien Howard. Now, you can kind of make assumptions as to who that can be. I strongly feel it could be the Seattle Seahawks, who lost Shaquille Griffin in free agency to the Jacksonville Jaguars and could really use a high-level cornerback to play with Jamal Adams. Maybe not a playoff team, but a team that's playing as though they are all in on this season, the Arizona Cardinals. Bringing in J.J. Watt, bringing in A.J. Green. They have Kyler Murray on his rookie deal still. They're looking to trade Chandler Jones. Well, Chandler Jones is looking to get traded. Could there be a partnership in which Chandler Jones and draft picks get sent to Miami for Xavien Howard? Other teams to possibly keep an eye on: Indianapolis Colts, New Orleans Saints, even the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons really need a cornerback. And as long as Matt Ryan is your starting quarterback, you are in a win now mode. You could make the case that, oh yeah, they're rebuilding because they got rid of Julio, but they had a chance to draft a rookie quarterback and change everything up. But instead, they added another weapon to the Atlanta offense to play with Matt Ryan, to play with Calvin Ridley. They signed Mike Davis. They're gunning for a playoff spot. So what could help them is a Pro Bowl starting cornerback. So those are just some of the teams to keep an eye on when it comes to this trade situation with Xavien Howard. Does that mean he's going to get traded? Maybe not. Maybe they can resolve this, but it seems unlikely. If you had to put a percentage on it, I would say there is a 20% chance he stays and an 80% chance he gets dealt somewhere else. And that deal could really happen by the start of August. I don't think it's going to take long, because teams want him healthy. They do not want to risk him getting hurt in training camp. So this deal could get done sooner rather than later. One other thing just to kind of be mindful of is the looming cloud that is Deshaun Watson and the possibility of him being traded. Reports are Nick Caserio is completely open to trading Deshaun Watson now. Of course, the asking price is absolutely ridiculous, and no one's going to match what his demands are, but it's a starting point. Before it was, oh, we're not trading Deshaun Watson, but now they're fielding calls for it. And there's only a couple of teams that could really make that move. Miami's one of them. Eagles are another. I really think it's a two-team race for Deshaun Watson. The Eagles have a lot of draft capital over the next couple of years, thanks to Miami and the Carson Wentz trade. They have Jalen Hurts. Maybe Houston would be interested in him, but they have the draft capital. On the flip side, Miami adding Xavien Howard to any package is very enticing. You put in Xavien Howard, some picks, maybe even Tua, you got a deal for Deshaun Watson, because Xavien Howard's at least worth a couple of first-rounders. Jalen Ramsey back in 2019, when he got dealt to the Rams, Jacksonville got two firsts and a fourth. So if you figure the value of Xavien Howard's roughly the same, if you parlay that with other picks and a first-round quarterback, Deshaun Watson could be starting for the Miami Dolphins. And a couple of the things I was just mentioning right now, we're actually going to talk about later on in my interview with Jason Moore. That's actually coming up next. Like I said at the intro of the show, Jason Moore is one-third of the Fantasy Footballers, and I'm having him on to talk about the Miami Dolphins, and more specifically, a take he had on the Miami Dolphins during one of their segments a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Xavien Howard. We're going to talk about Tua. We're going to cover all that stuff, and if you are a fantasy player and you have the tendency to pick Dolphins players, well, he might outline a few you should take and some that you should avoid. So we're going to get to that coming up in just a minute. You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com, Point After. Now a word from our sponsor. The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. And you know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk. The world is starting to open, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, plus two free gifts, performance boxer briefs, and the Shed travel bag. Talk about a world-class discount into a post-quarantine world. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped. Joining me this week is one third of the Fantasy Footballers. You can check him out on Twitter at JasonFFL and follow their channel at the FF Ballers. If you haven't watched or listened to them before, they break down fantasy football better than anyone, posting new content pretty much daily, and they have a great website to help you win your fantasy league every single year. Happy to have Jason Moore on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here. It's fun time of year as football gets going and we all get jacked up for the best sport.
Yeah, I'm extremely grateful to be able to take some of your time today because this is when you start getting very, very, very busy, especially with the rollout of content and especially with fans of yours reaching out constantly asking for fantasy help.
Yeah. This is the time where, you know, we've all gone on our vacations recently. A month ago, we took some time because from here on out, it's crazy. We'll be recording shows every single day from now until December 31st.
Yeah, till the end of time, it feels like sometimes.
Yeah, but it's worth it. Football's fun. Fantasy football's fun. And it's fun to win. So we make sure that everyone who's listening has a good time.
So the main reason I wanted to talk to you today is less about fantasy football and like, hey, can you tell me who to draft at round 7? But it's based on a take that you had.
Okay.
If you don't know, DolphinsTalk.com, we're talking about the Miami Dolphins, all right? And you guys did an AFC East breakdown 2 weeks ago on July 13th. And when you guys got to the Miami Dolphins, you had a great quote, and just in case you don't remember what you said, I'll remind you. This is what you said at the 35 minute and 20 second mark. I even marked it down just so I was fully aware. So this is what you said, quote, "I am fully out on Waddle. I'm out on Fuller because of Tua. I'm out on Tua. I'm out on Gesicki. I'm out on Myles Gaskin, who's probably the funnest player to talk about for fantasy. I'm out. I just don't believe in this offense, but more than any team out there, I feel like they can make me eat crow."
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Moore, well said.
What do you got to say about that?
Yeah. It's fun to come on a Miami Dolphins podcast and then talk negatively about the team that everyone here is obviously rooting for and a fan of. And like I said, at the end of that, this team is the one that I am most fearful of my takes. I could see a pathway to eating crow, but I'm probably not gonna. I went back after that show. I watched all of Tua again, and I am just flat out not a believer. And for his sake and the sake of all these great players, I really do hope that I'm wrong. I mean, I loved the experience with Ryan Fitzpatrick last year and the value that you saw in Gesicki and Parker and Gaskin. And then all of a sudden when the change was made for the future, and it was like, okay, that offense is not as good. And obviously you would expect a rookie to come in and not be as great as a magical veteran. But it was just I went back and I watched tape, and I was really disappointed with a lot of the throws. I was very disappointed with a lot of the decisions. The one caveat, though, and this is really where the crow comes from. I'm watching this. I'm watching a great deep target to so-and-so. And I'm like, could Will Fuller have caught that?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Probably. And so this is the thing, is like last year he's throwing to Devontae Parker and Scraps. And now they've got speed. They've got quality receivers. I mean, he's got to do it this year, right?
100%. You hit it right on the head. The so-and-sos that he was throwing to, you know, not to throw shade on Jakeem Grant, but Jakeem Grant's not going to go and put up 100, 150 yard games with a lot of targets. You know, Preston Williams, he can't seem to stay on the field. He's kind of in and out, but when he's in, he has a similar style to Devontae Parker, which seemed to really work, especially with Ryan Fitzpatrick under center. But when you're talking about Tua and the offense he's kind of used to, especially that Alabama offense, it is, you know, the slants and the speed and the short passes where you get a lot of yak yards with your wideouts, and with the addition of course, Waddle, who was given like a 97 speed rating in Madden, if that matters to anyone. And you bring in Fuller, who is one of the best deep ball receivers in the NFL. Again, when healthy, I think, you know, if these guys can stay on the field and either not get hurt or not get suspended, if Tua can't make it work, well, I guess you're kind of trying again in the next offseason. Maybe you're trying for a draft pick at quarterback, or maybe you're trying for one of those elite quarterbacks that seem to be available right now.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly are looking to move on if he can't take that step forward this year. But again, the reality is, you look at this Dolphins defense, they're good. They're going to be in a lot of games here. And you don't need Tua to do a ton, right? Because like you said, these yak masters in Will Fuller and Jalen Waddle, give them a little slant. And if they take something to the house, all those stats go to Tua. Everything looks good. The W's start coming in. And even if he hasn't really progressed as a passer, you know, in the pocket to really, you know, take apart the defense, you're going to win games, and then you're not going to be able to move on. And, you know, so really what I think we all want to see, both fantasy analysts as well as just Miami Dolphins fans.
Yeah.
We want to see not just the slants, not just the yak. We want to see Tua actually airing it out, hitting guys in stride, taking apart a zone, controlling an offense, maybe getting out of the pocket and making good improvisational plays on his own. Take that leap forward. You know, it used to be tank for Tua.
That's right.
People believed in Tua to a massive degree, to a Trevor Lawrence-esque degree, and the hip injury came in college. And now stupid analysts like me are like, I'm out. I don't think he's ever going to be a franchise quarterback. I don't think he's really great.
You know, it's a weird thing with the Miami Dolphins, because I think they have forced fans to eat crow a couple of times over the last few years. Like, you think about the Tunsil, Minka Fitzpatrick kind of start to the season, and you're like, as a Dolphins fan, you understand it is full tank time. We are going to be bad. But then they go on that run at the end of the season to save themselves. And then you get into this season and you have Tua, but you're not really playing them. The offense isn't very dynamic. The offensive line is so young. The defense has a lot of question marks, and then they go and win 10 games. As Dolphins fans, you had low expectations those two previous seasons. But this third season under Flores and Greer, you'd think to yourself, well, they made the moves. They got the guy at quarterback that we all pined for 2 years ago. Now we got to make it work. Now, fantasy and reality is sometimes a little skewed, right? Deshaun Watson, he was a top five quarterback last year in fantasy, but the team won four games. Calvin Ridley was a top five wide receiver in fantasy. Atlanta only won four games. So, you know, fantasy stats and wins and losses in the NFL sometimes don't, you know, match up perfectly, but you have to have a pretty good Tua fantasy number season, and that will translate to wins for the Dolphins. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Maybe Waddle, Parker, Gesicki, Miles Gaskin, those guys just don't get the numbers that you want for your fantasy team, but it's all about Tua and the numbers he puts up that really make this car go forward.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And they've done an admirable job setting him up for success. If I was Tua, I would be happy. I would look around at my situation and say, you know, there's not, other than maybe, you know, some offensive line upgrades, there's not much more I could ask for going from last year to this year to be set up for success. So he should be able to take that step forward. And I think it will be a mild step forward, which is, you know, usually football purgatory, right? You kind of want him to just fall flat on his face or upgrade. The worst thing that you could do is just be good enough to be a middling quarterback in the NFL and never really make the playoffs, but never get that high draft pick and just, you know, stay in no man's land.
Yeah, not to rag on a former Dolphin, but that was kind of Ryan Tannehill. Like, Ryan Tannehill's time with the Dolphins was good, but not good enough. He would have his games, but then he would have his bad games. And they tried different ways of improving the offense around Tannehill. It just never worked out. Goes to Tennessee, it's a completely different story. You know, it's always, you know, the system, the coaches, it all plays into your success in the NFL. And Tua's in a weird situation where he's in an offense this year with two offensive coordinators. This will now be, his third offensive coordinators in 2 years, right? Chan Gailey, now you got this, like, two-headed monster that Flores put together. So that could cause some frustration and some headaches for a lot of guys on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a unique situation. And, you talk about the two-headed monster now for fantasy. And you look at this team and you go, Miles Gaskin, he had, you know, everything to himself when he was healthy in the games, and he was great for fantasy, but that was with Chan Gailey. So now for fantasy, you're saying, okay, are they splitting that up? Is Malcolm Brown going to get all the goal line and be in for pass protection downs? And because he's great at that, I think it's going to be murky. And even though you have better weapons on the offense, you know, Devontae Parker, I don't know if he's really a one. Mm-hmm. I think he's good. But, you know, separation wise, he's a piece of a good offense, not the centerpiece. But you add Will Fuller and you add Jalen Waddle. These are great things for the Dolphins and probably bad for fantasy, because now whatever pie you have of passing yardage is split up so many different ways. And we really don't know who the one is on this team. I don't know if you have any insight for me on saying who you believe the clear cut number one target's going to be and how that running back room is going to pan out snap percentage wise. But yeah. I, from afar, I expect it to be a pie sliced in pretty even pieces. And if it's not a very big pie, then for fantasy, most of these players will not be worth their draft picks in your fantasy drafts.
Yeah. And if you have a tendency to lean, you know, to Dolphins players, because as a Dolphins fan, you inherently like to pick your team's players because you feel like you know them the best. If you're talking about Dolphins players, I wouldn't touch anybody, or I wouldn't even be in a draft until at least half of training camp's over, because there are so many things that need to get sorted out in those skilled positions, right? At the receiver position, you got Parker, Albert Wilson, Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, Allen Hurns. They've got Mac Hollins still hanging around, Jakeem Grant. Like, they got a lot of guys that aren't all going to make the roster. Preston Williams is on the pup list already. So there's, you know, eight guys right there that could make contributions, but there's no way they're all going to make the team. So to say, oh, this guy is going to be the number one wideout, hard to say. When it comes to the running backs, it seems to me, and it seems to everyone else, that Brian Flores leans towards the hardworking guys. They brought in Matt Breida last year. They brought in Jordan Howard. And Miles Gaskin just outworked them in training camp, and he outworked him in practice, and he got the touches. And for the 10 games that Miles Gaskin played last season, he produced over 95 yards of offense. For fantasy, you know, he could be getting you 10 plus points every week, depending on what kind of league you play in. I do think that Miles Gaskin's going to get a fair bit of play. I don't think Malcolm Brown's going to touch the field as much, because that's just not Flores. He's just, it's all about the hardworking guys. It's not, you know, who do we sign? What have you done in the past? It's what have you done for me lately? That's why I think the seventh round pick, Jared Doakes, based on Dolphins Twitter, he was the first guy to show up at training camp this morning. And that plays into the Brian Flores mentality of the hardest working guys get on the field. Don't care what your contract is. Don't care what your status is. Don't care what you did before.
Yeah, no, I get it. I do think, you know, historically Malcolm Brown has been known as a hard worker and one of those gritty type of players. I think PFF has 140 snap protections and never given up a sack type of, you know, one of those type of guys. So it'll be interesting to see the news coming out of camp on his work ethic and all that. But I do question, you know, obviously that's Brian Flores's motto, his gusto, but the change in coordinator, you know, I doubt he's the one that was setting up who's going in on first down and second down. You know, that's probably more on the offensive coordinator. And with that shift now, I'll be interested to see, you know, how training camp does look and how preseason looks when it comes to backfield rotation.
I actually asked the fans of at Dolphins Talk on Twitter. We did a poll this morning and I asked, you know, what training camp storyline kind of sticks out the most? And number one, overwhelmingly, was the development of Tua Tagovailoa. But the second one was the Xavien Howard contract situation. And I kind of want to lump this into fantasy football. Where would the Dolphins defense rank with Xavien Howard in it and without Xavien Howard in it?
It's a pretty wide difference. You know, when you've got a cornerback like that, you're talking about a team that is able to do things that every other team hopes to do. You know, I look at the Cardinals, our hometown team, and what an absolute difference it would make in your secondary, allowing your pass rush to get home and do those things. So, I think it's a monumentally important piece for the Dolphins.
Let's play fantasy GM for a second, because you guys, all of you guys that do fantasy footballers, big Cardinals fans, with the news that Chandler Jones wants out of Arizona, fantasy GMs around Twitter, you know, Xavien Howard for Chandler Jones deal, you know, obviously with picks being involved, kind of benefits both teams. As a Cardinals fan, how would you feel about Chandler Jones for Xavien Howard?
It is actually interesting. I had not heard that, but it does pique my interest, because after losing Patrick Peterson, which you could argue we lost a couple of years ago when you talk about the lockdown version, we added JJ Watt this offseason, and we've got a pretty solid defense outside of our horrifically dead secondary. Malcolm Butler is living on smoke from, you know, Super Bowl glory days, and he's our number one. Yeah. Our number two is, I don't even know. I mean, I know who's probably slots in at two. I just don't think that you're allowed to call them a number two, because, well, maybe a number two in a different way, but they are not good. And so, yeah, I think that look, the Cardinals played last year without Chandler Jones for the most of it after injury.
Yeah.
Lock down that defense and allow the, you know, our defensive coordinator to be able to, you know, produce some more pass rush. But if I were the Dolphins, I don't think I would do that deal.
You know, like
the Cardinals, I would.
Yeah. If you're the Cardinals, 100%. Dolphins, not so much. It is kind of the talk of Dolphins Twitter, is just what exactly is going to happen with Xavien Howard, because, you know, the fans do not want him to be traded. And obviously he led the league in interceptions. He was by far and away the best cover corner in the NFL, able to match stride for stride with Tyreek Hill in that Chiefs game. But there's just a tipping point where the Dolphins front office feels like the Patriots front office, where you're not going to bully them into making a decision. You just got paid, play your contract, but he wants to be the highest paid corner on his own team, which he isn't even at the moment. But when you look at the cornerback depth that the Dolphins have, I don't know if Xavien Howard starts week one with the Dolphins. It just seems so unlikely at this point.
Well, let's hook this trade up, because I think it would benefit the Cardinals. Yeah.
Let's make it happen. I want to talk about Jalen Waddle, because going into the draft, I think Dolphins fans had their mind set on, okay, let's get Kyle Pitts. If he slides from Atlanta, he'll fit in. I really didn't see the fit because you already have Gesicki there. Unless you were going to trade him and keep Kyle Pitts, obviously, you know, he's a huge talent. Everyone's praising him already. He hasn't even stepped on the field. Again, for anyone that cares, in terms of rookies, he was rated the highest rookie in Madden this year. I think he's like an 81 or something like that. If anyone cares, I don't know if it really matters anymore. But everyone loves him. And then it was Ja'Marr Chase. Dolphins fans want Ja'Marr Chase. But it turns out that maybe the Dolphins had their eye on Jalen Waddle the whole time. What do you think he can do in a rookie season where typically rookie wideouts don't have huge impacts? Justin Jefferson is kind of the anomaly of the group. But, you know, is he going to have a Henry Ruggs type of rookie season? Or can we expect more from Jalen Waddle in his first year?
I think you can expect more from Waddle than you saw from Ruggs. When I was looking at both these prospects the last 2 years, Ruggs obviously has electric speed, just like Waddle. Those two guys, you know, get lumped together a lot because obviously they have true world class. Not like, oh, they're fast. Everybody's fast. Not fast for NFL, but like, oh, dang, he gone. You know, just crazy speed. And they both came out of Alabama. But when I was scouting both of these, Waddle was such a more complete wide receiver. Ruggs, to me, was like my ninth or 10th ranked wide receiver coming out that year. And I thought for NFL purposes, he serves an even better purpose and would have been drafted ahead of that, because when you have speed on the outside, it opens things up for you and all of that. But for fantasy purposes, I didn't see him being able to be a possession guy. Waddle, on the other hand, I feel like he's got a little bit more meat on his bones, better route tree at the college level, able to, I think, attack all three, you know, areas of the field. He's not one of these, I'm a deep route specialist or a jet sweep guy only. I think he is a really good prospect. Waddle was my number two wide receiver pre-draft. So I really, really like the talent. I was disappointed with the landing spot because I worried he's just going to be a slant and go guy in this offense if Tua's just grabbing that ball and getting it out of his hands right away. But, you know, the reason I, you know, going back to the reason I say that I can eat crow so easily is because if Tua actually just takes that step forward, it's not going to be good. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, he develops and looks, you know, even just like Justin Herbert last year as a rookie, and all of a sudden Waddle can do special things. The difference being with Waddle, there's more competition for targets than like Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson was Adam Thielen. Justin Jefferson is a two-man show. Mm-hmm. Here, there are more mouths to feed. So I don't expect the rookie breakout, but I do think it'll be better than Ruggs.
When you look at kind of Tua and how you guys rank your quarterbacks for fantasy football, do you have him ranked already? And do you have a stats forecasted for the 2021 season?
Yeah. We actually, in our ultimate draft kit, we stat out, I mean, this is the only way to do it really, to be accurate. If you want to know what you're talking about, we stat out every single player on every single team in the league and let the chips fall where they may stat wise, because if we just rank guys and say, I like this player more than that player, we're really wrong a lot of times. So when we stat everybody out, we just see where we believe those stats are. And that put Tua for me at my quarterback 28 for fantasy purposes. Got him completing 4,195 yards, throwing 23 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So it's a pretty mild season.
Honestly, those are pretty realistic numbers, though. If you think about, you know, the jump from year one to year two, where, let's be real, he was in and out of the lineup, and from week to week, no one really knew if he was going to be the starting quarterback. Now that there's a definitive, yes, he is our starter, and he's had the full year to recover from the hip and he should be ready to go, you know, 25 ish touchdowns, and if he can keep the interceptions in the low double digits, I don't know, that can still be a playoff team if you kind of throw into the mix the defense and if they can run the ball effectively. And, you know,
the Dolphins can definitely be a playoff team. You know, if I had to put money on it, I would say they're closer to a playoff team than not a playoff team. It's one of those divergences between fantasy football and real football. I don't like the stats, you know, for fantasy football, a mobile running quarterback is worth so much. And even though Tua is athletic, he's not actually a rushing yardage type of quarterback. He doesn't accumulate those ground stats that are so valuable for fantasy. But as a game manager, not throwing a lot of interceptions and allowing the defense to work, this is a team that is definitely on the playoff bubble. Although the division is harder because last year you had a free ride with the Patriots and you got your card of Adam Gase no longer has to coach our team, but we get to play against Adam Gase. Yeah. That was great for you guys.
It's great now, for everybody.
Yeah. Now Adam Gase is out of the way and you've got all the COVID opt-outs back on the Patriots and all the money spent. So it's a hard division, but the team is built to win football games, I think.
Okay, now let's play what if for a second. Let's say you had to do the AFC East breakdown all over again, but this time it was found out that Deshaun Watson was traded to the Dolphins. What would you say about Deshaun Watson and the Miami Dolphins in terms of fantasy and the players around them?
Oh, brother. Oh, man. This would be a good team. This would be a really good team. I would think Will Fuller would be right up to top 15 type of wide receiver. There'd be clarity on who the number one is. Spoiler, it'd be him. Obviously they've got the connection from Houston. I think someone like Devontae Parker would thrive having a quarterback that is willing to let a wide receiver make plays. He doesn't have to get open. You know, Watson will know I trust this player. And honestly, those two things would open things up for Waddle. So the running game would be sparse. I think this would be a passing oriented team. But this is a team that would win a lot of games. I mean, you saw it last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick is nothing special. And he was so clearly better than Tua. You know, you remember the game late in the season where they you know, you're on the playoff cusp and we really want Tua to be the guy. But he's throwing for 4.3 yards per attempt. So let's get Fitzpatrick in here and beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
Kick them out of the playoffs. That's the difference between a loss and a win was the difference between Tua and Fitzpatrick. Oh my goodness. Going to Watson, you know, to say nothing, of course, of the off field allegations, just on the field stuff, that would be, you'd be guaranteed for the playoffs, guaranteed.
For those that don't know anything about your draft kit and where they can find it, can you give some information?
Yeah. Well, everything that the fantasy footballers do is at the fantasyfootballers.com, but the ultimate draft kit is a product that we put out every year for people playing in their leagues. You know, it used to be you go grab a magazine from a store and, you know, and use that to help you draft. But those things are printed like 4 months ago. I'm in some of them. And Cam Akers, he's a great pick, except no, he's not. So, you know, our draft kit just helps you win. And if you listen to the show, we try to be as accurate as possible, know what we're talking about. But we also have fun because that's the whole point of football. And the whole point of fantasy is like to have fun. This is a game. So it's all entertainment and accuracy. So, basically the fantasyfootballers.com is where you can find us.
And could you give maybe one piece of advice for anybody that's gearing up for their fantasy draft over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, the easiest piece of advice for newer players is draft quarterbacks late. They score the most points, and a lot of times in casual leagues, people think that quarterbacks are the most important for fantasy. They will score the most, but the reality is, they're the least important for fantasy because all of them score a ton of points. The difference between the first and the 12th is not that big. And if you load up on running backs and wide receivers early in your draft, your team at the end will just be far better than people who spent early round picks on a quarterback instead of choosing a running back or wide receiver.
Awesome. Jason, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, and go Dolphins. I hope to eat crow this year.
I'd like to thank Jason for being on the program this week. If you want some more information on the Fantasy Footballers or on Jason, you can find Jason on Twitter at JasonFFL or follow their channel, the FF Ballers. You can also go on their website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Thank you so much for listening. This was DolphinsTalk.com. Point After.